This is one of my favorite hymns, Grace, Grace, God's Grace. And aren't we grateful that His grace is greater than all of our sins? Well, last week we started this new sermon series called Healthy Christian Living. We talked about people who make New Year's resolutions. That's very common, right? But you know, as Christians, we are often unhealthy. And just like with our physical health, when it comes to our spiritual health, most of us are not living as we should. I know, like last night, I had some wings, and we needed some sides to go with the wings, and happened to be going by the cookie aisle, and I'll admit I did buy some cookies and take home and eat some I shouldn't have. And I know I should live more healthier and eat healthier, and I always don't, but the same thing happens in our Christian's life, doesn't it? We know we should pray more. We know we should read the Scripture more. We know we should do these things, and we don't always do them. But we should have a focus on becoming healthier Christians. And as I warned you last week, our base passage for the next few weeks is from the same New Testament reading. And as I said, we'll be reading it again and again and again and again. So anybody who can come up and read that passage by heart can come do that now. Otherwise, we're going to read it again together. So if you don't want to read this again next week, have somebody memorize it and come up and show me you got it. So let's read this passage together. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Today we're going to focus on this part of the passage. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Bear with each other. Isn't that an interesting phrase? Especially for a group of church people. And if you've been in church long enough, you know there are times where we have to bear with each other. Another translation might be tolerate each other. And especially who he's talking about. He's not talking about tolerating or bearing with the people in the outside world. We are to tolerate each other. And that isn't always easy. Because let's face it, some of us have a lot. I mean, a lot that needs to be tolerated. Some of us have annoying personalities. Some of us have annoying tics. And even if unintentional, sometimes we are rude, oblivious, ignorant, and selfish. We were in a group Bible study one time at the very beginning of the book, because it was a group study and you're in a small group with people together. It said in every group setting, there is an EGR. That means there's someone that needs extra grace. Extra grace required, an EGR. And if you're in the group and you don't know who the EGR is in your group, that means you are the EGR. Because let's face it, sometimes we forget to say hello, don't we? We don't call, we don't visit, we forget promises. Some days we can be short, snippy, and sometimes around here we can be gossipy. And too many times, in some way, somehow, we let somebody down, don't we? And yet, it's because we have expectations of other people, don't we? We expect them to be like the first part of this verse. We think everybody here should be like this verse, that as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, they should be clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Because that's what we expect of other people, especially in the church. And it's easy to see when someone else is wrong, isn't it? It's really easy to point out when they're not having their best day. But sometimes it hurts when someone else is wrong. Sometimes it hurts when we see somebody not living up to this kind of standard. And all too often, we are quick to judge other people. Well, I don't know what's wrong with that person today, right? We've all have said that one. But the truth is, we don't always have our stuff together, do we? From Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all of the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." And you notice in this case, Jesus isn't talking about a stranger. He says, don't judge your brother. And of course, we know why we shouldn't judge. Jesus just told us one of the reasons we shouldn't judge is because you have your own issues to deal with. Why don't you fix yourself before you start fixing other people? But the other reason we shouldn't judge is found in this parable. And Jesus told a parable in Matthew 18. He said, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. A king has loaned money to his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt." Which is perfectly legal, right? You can't pay, we're going to liquidate you. In verse 26, it says, "At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay you back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. The master didn't just say, 'Okay, you got 90 days. The master didn't say, "Okay, we'll restructure the loan and you can repay it back." The scripture says, no, he canceled the debt. And I don't know about you, but 10,000 bags of gold is an awful lot to forgive. But we go on to verse 28. "But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in, "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" And in his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers and to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And then Jesus said in verse 35, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart." See, sometimes we forget that as Christians, I have to remember I've been forgiven of everything. You have to remember that you have been forgiven of everything. And therefore, God expects us to be able to forgive everything. And each week we pray the Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6. And in that prayer we say, "Forgive us our trespasses." Or in some translations it says, "Forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us." And how many times do we say that prayer without really thinking about the words that we're saying? We're saying to God, "Give us forgiveness as we go and forgive other people." And Jesus says in Matthew 6, 14, right after he teaches this prayer, he says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Now let that sink in for a moment. That if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You know, none of us deserve God's grace. But we were offered God's grace even before we accepted it. You think about that? Jesus died on the cross for you over 2,000 years ago, right? Almost 2,000 years ago, he was on the cross for your sins. And from the day you were born, God's grace was offered for you. Some of you were probably baptized in this very church as an infant, meaning that God's grace was given to you through your baptism until you come to the point where you accept his grace. It was given to you and offered to you before you even accepted it. And think about this. Every time you go and ask God for his forgiveness, he already knows we're going to sin again. God already knows we are going to sin again, yet he still offers his grace and his forgiveness. So what is our excuse for not forgiving other people? If the God of the universe, perfect and holy, is willing to forgive me, why am I not always willing to forgive other people? I've heard more than one person in this church, not just in other places that I've served, say something like this: "Well, I know it's not very Christian of me, but I can never forgive that person." Number one, as we just read, if you can't forgive someone, don't expect forgiveness from God. Number two, your unwillingness to forgive someone is likely making you sin more. Because your unwillingness to forgive is caused by anger, selfishness, bitterness, greed, or some other sin, isn't it? And number three, think about this. When you are unwilling to forgive, it becomes like a poison or a toxin in your body. And that's backed up by medical research. John Hopkins Medical has an article that said, people who hang on to grudges are more likely to experience severe depression and post-traumatic stress disorder, as well as other health conditions. When you can't forgive, it affects you spiritually, it affects you emotionally, and it even affects your health. Another article from a Christian Counseling said it increases stress on your body and directly affects things like hypertension. And when you can't forgive someone, it just doesn't hurt them. It doesn't just hurt you. It begins to hurt the other people around you. When you allow that brokenness to continue between the two of you, it begins to hurt everyone around you. I had a nephew that was always in trouble. He was just one of those kids from the day that he was running around at 2 or 3 years old, you were just going, whoo, this kid is going to be a handful. And he was. And in his junior year, on his birthday, December 25th, he turned 18. And he looked at his mom and said, I am 18. I am not going back to school anymore. I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to do anything. Well, my dad said, no, sir. And we drove down there. We grabbed him, packed up his stuff, and we moved him up. We gave him an apartment over the factory of the family business. And we said, you're going to finish high school. And you're going to work, and we're going to make a man out of you. Well, Joe was kind of reluctant, but we did get him graduated. And now I know why people cheer at graduations, because sometimes it is worthy of a cheer. Woo, got him through. Joe battled drug addiction, and we found out that he was stealing from the company. We bought him a laptop to do school with, and he sold it for drug money. There were stories that he was sneaking out in the company truck and running around town. He did not have a driver's license, which means he was uninsured, which means the liability went directly back to the company that my dad built from scratch with $20 in a dream. Company that I had worked at for almost 25 years myself to help him build. And I couldn't catch him. He was so good, he knew the security cameras and where they were pointed and where they were not pointed. And one day my dad said, Scott, come out here and look at this. And we found a back alley out of the side of our business between two businesses, and there was a locked gate. And we found out it wasn't really locked, that you could get through it. And the grass had tire tracks in it. We knew that night he had taken the truck out. So I got on the security camera, and I tracked him where he went into the office, got the keys, went out of camera view. But then it was nighttime, and I couldn't see the truck, but I could see the headlights on the embankment across the street of where he left. Then I saw the headlights come back. Then he came back in the door. He came back in and put the keys away and went back up to his apartment. I had him red-handed. Now, mind you, this kid was a handful, and boy, I was trying to help Dad really get him. And we brought him down and sat in my dad's office. And this young man sat right across from us and said, you didn't see me on camera in that truck. You can't prove it was me. And lied to his grandpa, who went all out for him. And I'm not proud of this moment, but I literally jumped across the desk and I had my hands on his throat and I was really going to beat the living you-know-what out of him. And my dad stopped me. He said, Scott, that's not going to solve anything. And what I realized that over the last few months, his actions were making me angry. His actions were making me hostile, and they were building up like a toxin in me until they erupted in a very unhealthy way. And not just on Joe, but I was being angry and hostile at home because I was coming home angry about what this kid was doing. We kept hearing the stories of him stealing and from his grandpa and being out in this truck and putting the liability and all of these things going on, and I would come home angry. And it affected my relationship with my wife. It affected my relationship with my young kids. I wasn't happy dad when I got home. I wasn't a good husband when I got home because I carried anger and frustration. And God said, you need to forgive him. And I said, God, he doesn't want forgiveness. He's not asking for forgiveness. And he said, Scott, you need to forgive him. And guess what I had to do? I had to let go. I had to stop letting his sin make me sin. And I had to say, Joe, I love you and I forgive you. Whether you accept it or not, my forgiveness is out there for you. Do you see the difference there? How many times in life have you said, I'll forgive that person when they apologize to me? I'll forgive that person when they do this. I'll forgive that person when heck freezes over, right? But that's not the God we serve. The God we serve says you love and forgive even when they don't deserve it. Because the very core of our faith is love. And John 13, Jesus was in the last night with his disciples. And he says, a new command I give you. He says, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. A direct command from Jesus to love each other so that the world will know what? That we are his disciples. That we are a people who are forgiven. We are a people who are not judgmental, but we are a people who also forgive. Who forgive and love the way Jesus loves. And I hear it over and over again. People don't go to church. You know why? Because of the church. Most of the time, it's not the music. Most of the time, it's not the sermons. Most of the reasons that people stop coming to church or won't go to church is because of the church. Because the world, instead of seeing as disciples who love one another, they see us as judgmental, unforgiving, hypocrites, gossipers. And it's all because we do not live up to this. Back to our scripture. Therefore, as God's chosen people, God's people, holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That should be humbling, people. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Think about some of your most deepest, darkest, sinful moments in your life. And remember that no matter what you have done, no matter how undeserving you were, God's love and God's grace and His forgiveness is there for you. And God wants us to be able to forgive others as God has forgiven us. And if you want to bring people to Christ, if you want to fill this church, if you want to be healthy as a Christian, then we need to live up to these scriptural standards. We need to be God's chosen people. We need to be holy and dearly loved. We need to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And we need to bear with each other. And the reason he said that, because it's not always easy. Because we're all imperfect, and sometimes we got to tolerate each other, bear with each other, forgive one another as the Lord forgave us. If you want to become a healthier Christian, then we need to learn to love and to forgive as God forgave. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we are all guilty. There's not a person here without sin. There's not a person here who has not done something to offend another person. There's not someone here who has not been offended by somebody else. And Lord, it usually happens because we are selfish, greedy, petty, because we're here for us, we're here for what we want and how we want things. Lord, help us to let go of our selfish needs and desires. Allow us to be a people that focuses on your love, your grace, your mercy. And allow us to be a people who emulates that. Let us strive to be more like the example your son was. Let us love the unloved. Let us forgive the unforgivable. And let us share a love like no other. This we pray to you through your son's holy name. Amen. Doesn't mean we don't hold people accountable, because we're going to talk about that in a couple weeks, because we do need to hold each other accountable. But you cannot hate somebody back into a rightful relationship. Doesn't work. You can only love them back into a rightful relationship. John Lear, a Cincinnati native, became a Tuskegee Airman. And even with all of his training, all of his medals, he fought racism when he came home. And in an interview, somebody said, "Mr. John, How did you survive the times when you were nearly lynched to death? How did you survive all of the hatred and the anger and everything that was pointed at you? And he said, I refused to let hate win. You can't win with hate. We need to love. And we need to forgive. And for some of you here today, I promise you, if it hasn't already hit you, there's a name right there, isn't there? God says you need to forgive. You need to let go. And you need to love. Let us leave here today as God's holy people. God's forgiven people. And let us live with the grace, the humility, the compassion, and the love of His Son, Jesus Christ. Go now and be His holy people in this world. Go now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of His Holy Spirit. Amen.